Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, it's a new week, and welcome to WFHR's morning show. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And Beth Haphagger.
Good morning.
We got some fun stuff lined up for you this week. We're going to kick off your week right. We got good things on the way. We're going to get into a two-time lottery winner and what they credit as their winning of the two-time wins. Okay. It's interesting. We got to talk daylight savings time. We're going to talk that in a little bit. We've also got an interesting one here that I was kind of curious what you two might think about. 10 things that aren't designed for women but should be.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have some takes
on
that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Got a feeling. Got a feeling. We also have our National Day of Calendar coming up in just a little bit. Looking forward to getting into that. A little bit later, we'll touch on some of these things. 8 o'clock hour, we'll kick off with one of these stories. Probably that story I was just telling you about right there. We will actually kick it off with our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Looking forward to catching up with them and hopefully hearing some good news.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll find out. We'll find that out in 8 o'clock hour. After that is when we'll get into this article here about things you ladies should be designing that we should not be as men. That's coming up a little in the 8 o'clock hour. After that, we'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. More fun in store after that. 9 o'clock hour is going to kick off with the kitchens open. Mm-hmm. Melissa and Beth's sponsored show inside the show. This is something that I know you were working really hard on this weekend, Melissa, so I'm looking forward to hearing it. Should be fun. And after that, we'll get into some Then I Write stories, good stories of the day. We got to talk a little entertainment news. Of course, the Oscars happened yesterday.
Yes.
Everywhere, all over the place at once. we're going to talk about that. We will get into a little bit of Billy Joel talk as well. We got to talk Billy Joel.
Oh, absolutely.
He had an interesting conversation the other week, and I want to hear what you guys think of this, because I don't think we're actually going to agree with Mr. Billy Joel.
Ah.
I think we might disagree with him, and in a good way. And there is a new Flintstones that is going to be coming out. We're going to tell you about the cast.
Ooh.
So get all that lined up. Melissa, how was your weekend?
It was good. We went up and visited some friends out of town and then just kind of had a chill Sunday. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Just to relax a little bit.
I can hear it in your voice. I can hear that it was a relaxing weekend in your voice. God, I'm so jealous. Mm-hmm. that's so nice. We need those every once in a while, especially like in the middle of, in these dog days of winter, if you will, of those days where you don't have a weekend, you don't have to do too much. Maybe you got a couple things here and there, but you know, you ain't got too much to do. Nice. Very good to hear. How was your weekend, Beth?
The polar opposite.
Yeah.
It was the closing weekend for the show over at WRCT, and I was doing hospitality, so managed and coordinated the ushers and the bartenders and did the 50-50 raffle. So that was busy enough, and then we had a special joint board training session on Saturday morning. So I was at the church from, you know, like 7:30 in the morning, and then went straight from there over to the theater and then worship services. So yesterday afternoon, I finally got to see my family, was wonderful.
Have they grown? Have they grown in the time you haven't seen
they
them?
Have. I mean, the side effect, and in some respects a little bit of a blessing, is that both of my boys, for being the ages that they are, both wanted to cuddle with mama yesterday.
Oh.
Aww.
So I got to have some snuggles, and at the ages they are, it's not going to happen much longer.
No.
So that was the blessing that came from the weekend. I was able to kind of hibernate in my bedroom and just kind of reset most of the evening. So I got to watch the Oscars, and some interesting things happened with the Oscars. Not as exciting as last year, thank God. But I really appreciated a lot of the speeches. So
I got to I'm happy to hear that. What your training? What did that? I don't want to pry or anything like that, but I am a little curious. What kind of training? What does that involve?
Well, it depends on the year. And this year we focused on discovering our personality types, so what we prefer in being an extrovert, introvert, how we take in our information, how we process that, and how we orient ourselves to the world. So we spent a lot of time talking about that, so that it helps us understand how we communicate with each other, which is always a blessing. And then we did some goal setting. You know, where do we feel that we can continue to grow in our ministry? What are some new ideas about ministry that we can reach out with? How can we strengthen the ministry that we have? So it was really good. And in the past, it's talked about what are our roles on our board. So what do our board of elders do? What do our board of trustees do? How does the pastor work within that? That kind of thing.
Very cool. And hopefully the week will give you a little break here and there. You know,
yeah, it's Lent, so you know, you add services during Lent. Right. So. But it is what it is. You go through these seasons, just like life, and some seasons are busier than others, and this just happens to be one of those seasons.
So well said. So true. So very, very, very true. we got to talk about this Maryland guy here. A Maryland man who followed up on a $100,000 lottery prize in 2015 with a $50,000 win this week credited his hairstyle for his repeat luck.
What?
William Daniels, 31, of Middle River, told Maryland lottery officials he bought his golden X50 scratch-off ticket from the 7-Eleven store on Perry Hall Boulevard in Nottingham. Daniels said he was shocked to reveal a $50,000 winner, a prize. When you hit it, you are in disbelief. You want to make sure you are not looking at it wrong, he said. Daniels, who previously won 100 grand from a Ravens scratch-off ticket in 2015, said he cut his long hair shortly after his first win, and his hair has grown back out in the time from his last prize. Quote, I'm going to stick with long hair when I play scratch-offs. The player whose previous jackpot went towards buying a home said his latest win will go towards a major life event. Quote, it's going toward paying for my wedding, he said.
Aww.
No word yet on if his wife or future wife is going to want him to cut his hair or not. I don't know if it's completely up to him. I'm showing a picture of him to Beth a little bit here. And this is essentially picture in your head a 20s, 30s, Beth,
yeah.
You'd say?
Yeah.
Younger man with red hair and a long beard and long hair. And you're gonna pretty much picture what he looks like.
Yeah.
You're gonna,
yeah, kind of like a lumberjack looking kind of guy.
Thinner lumberjack. Yeah, that's what I go with. Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
And yes, long hair is the way to go.
I wonder if he plays baseball. With all that superstition.
Yes, right? Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of this becoming a thing. Like, all of a sudden, like, lottery people start just growing their hair out and everything.
Somebody you're always used to with short hair all of a sudden has long hair, and you go, oh, are you playing the lottery?
Yes, yes. it never ceases to amaze me. There's lottery people, that's one thing, but it's sports fans. Sports fans are the most superstitious people I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, especially baseball.
Yes, yes, big time.
Don't change your underwear.
You think the players are the most superstitious. It's the fans.
Uh-huh.
I remember hearing Katie Nolan, a great, great reporter. She does amazing work. She's a huge Boston fan. She was talking about the last time the Red Sox were in the World Series. She went into the bathroom, and she was so distraught because they were down, she sat in her sink. And all of a sudden, they started winning. And they started like, so she just stayed in the sink the whole game. And the next game, she spent in the bathroom, in the sink, and they won the World Series.
Oh, wow.
So now she feels like anytime they're in the World Series, that's what she's got to do.
Yeah.
Like, nothing like
that's
sports
uncomfortable.
Fans.
It is.
That
would be very uncomfortable.
I couldn't fit in a sink if I wanted to. Like, I don't even know how with the handle. I don't know how you even work that out. I don't want to know. I don't. but yeah, there's nobody like sports fans, especially, like you said, baseball fans.
Yeah.
One more for you here. And we have to talk about this one because I know that with our two states being so close to each other, Illinois and Wisconsin, we're always going to have a lot of people traveling back and forth between the two states. You need to watch out. No, it is not about my former stomping grounds of the city of Chicago. Yes, there is violence there, but it is not that is not all that it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about two pigs, one goat on the loose in Illinois County.
Aww.
Be on the lookout, everybody. You say aw, but I don't know. This could be a gang. Watch out. Animal rescuers are helping authorities in an Illinois county hunt for an unusual trio of fugitives, two potbelly pigs, and a goat. Also sounds like one of the greatest bands I've ever heard of. Like, this needs to be a band. I want them to just give these animals instruments. I want them to be a band. The Grundy County Sheriff's Office said animal control officers are searching for two pigs nicknamed Bonnie and Clyde.
Of course.
Oh, yes. Oh, I needed that. The Sheriff's Office asked anyone who spots the porcelain fugitives to report their locations rather than attempting to capture them.
So the pigs are after the escape goat.
It seems like it. The Chicagoland Pig Rescue, which is assisting with the search, said the pigs are believed to have been wandering the area for about a month. The Pig Rescue is also helping animal control officers track down a goat spotted wandering loose in the area in recent days. The pigs were last seen in Maison area where the goat was last seen outside of Kinsman. So they're trying to cover a lot of ground here, this gang. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make sure that they cover a lot of ground here. That's what is going.
Wow.
I want to come across this. I want to be driving down the road and you just see these three walking together and stuff like that.
Just chill.
Just hanging out. We will take a break right here because we need to, I don't know, we need to think this through. I want to get up with a good plan on that. We're going to come back with our National Day of Calendar, and then we'll get into Daylight Savings Time. Looking forward to all of those things. And yes, a little bit later, we're not only going to get into the Oscars, I'm going to find out who won the Oscars.
Ooh.
I believe that yesterday was the first time in my life, unless I had something going on that Sunday night, that I have not watched the Oscars. I did not get a chance to watch them last night. I had a class. I was teaching for part of it. And then in the middle of my class, I just was hit over the head by this pain in my side. I've got a monster of a kidney stone is all I can imagine that's trying to burst its way through. So I've been working through that. I was up literally all night last night with this. So I apologize if I'm you hear me twinging or in pain or anything like that. That is not professional, and I apologize, everyone. I will say, though, this could lead to some comedic moments.
No.
And entertainment is worth it. You know, anything to make the audience laugh. And if you hear me like in the middle of a conversation, all of a sudden I have to run away. I'm running to the bathroom. That's what I'm doing. So
you're going to give me a quick tutorial on all of these buttons that I see in front of me?
That's what we're going to do during commercial break.
Okay, all right.
Push the red one. Push the red one.
Gotcha, the red one. The emergency button. Gotcha.
Yes. We'll be good.
Should be fine. What can happen? It's live radio. What can go wrong? It's going to be great. It's going to be a fun show, everybody. We're going to get your Monday off on a good note here at the morning show on WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this March 13th, 2023. It is Universal Women's Week.
All right.
Going on till Saturday, March 18th. Definitely.
So if you're a woman in the universe, this is your week.
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
If you are outside of the universe, not so much. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a great one. We should definitely be promoting Universal Women's Week.
Yeah.
Women are important. I know you needed me as a man to tell everybody that. you're welcome. No.
Could you smack him, please?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, that was good. I didn't even see her hand move. Like
it's a love pat.
That's a mom move right there.
There you
that's
go.
That's a mom move. Nice. It is, today is, I mean, it's a great week to appreciate the women in your life, to appreciate women in general. This world moves because of women. We shouldn't have to go too in depth on this one, I would think.
Right.
But if you two want to add anything, please.
Well, I think that the importance that women bring to the planet, I mean, in general, cannot be understated, as you have said, James. And also, I like, women are just fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think creation wouldn't be here without women. You know, we wouldn't have more generations without women. And I have to tell you the irony of watching, because we're seeing this on the monitor. There's a little ad in the right-hand corner, and I wonder if this is on purpose or not. It had a pad commercial on in the midst of talking about Universal Women's Week.
Had a pad commercial, and then it went to a wildlife commercial. That was awfully. That was a weird transition right there. That was...
But no, I think women have contributed significantly to the world and have not been credited for a lot of what we've done to kind of help promote. You know, we're the ones that nurture all of the men out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
For most of human history, Anonymous was a woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always thought that was one of the strongest quotes I'll ever read.
Yeah.
It really opened me up to a lot of that. And,
And then also, minority women are also not even as talked about as much as white women.
Right. Well,
yeah.
Well, and this is a wonderful week to start talking about how are we valuing the women in the world? Because if you think about it, women are paid 30%, at least 30% less than men, and retire on 30% less than men. And we need to start looking at the fact that women are contributing to society just as much as anybody. And everybody needs to be valued for the work that they're putting in.
Equal pay, equal respect are things that should be a given. They shouldn't be needed. We shouldn't even need to discuss it. They should have been done a long time ago. And women should have pockets.
Amen.
Give women pockets.
Thank you.
Dresses, leggings. I don't care what it is. Just pockets, pockets, pockets. Give more. Like tons of pockets. We need to make up for lost time.
They're getting there. Yeah. It's a long way to go.
It's starting. Yeah.
Smart and sexy day.
Yeah.
We have to admit, when we first heard of Smart and Sexy Day, we were fairly certain it was going to be dedicated to the, you know, a bunch of other different types of things that we could imagine. Whatever you're imagining in your head, that's what we thought. But we aren't entirely disappointed. The day represents so much more than you know, just being attractive. Mm-hmm. And perhaps the original version we had actually a part of a problem. Smart and Sexy Day is dedicated to showing that women can absolutely be both.
Yeah.
The epitome of intelligence and absolute heartthrobs and the brains and beauty are a powerful combination. I think that if we're talking about the most attractive thing on a human being, to me, it's usually their brain.
There you go. You want to be able to talk to a woman.
Things end real quick if you can't hold a conversation with each other. Yeah. Looks only get you so far in life.
There you go.
You can't hold a conversation. That's a part that, you know, holds you back.
There you go. Melissa, they set a day aside for us.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there we go.
National Earmuff Day.
Earmuffs. They've come so far.
Yes, yes.
They have.
Let's see here.
No, these are not just the ones to keep your ears warm.
Oh, no, no.
Okay, good. These
are all types of earmuffs. The beginning of spring is often the last blows of the reign of winter terror. One moment you can be basking in the shining warmth, returning from the sun, and the next is literally freezing.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, one masterful Chester Greenwood came up with a solution for this untrustworthy and frankly convincing weather that allows you to abandon the hats of winter for a little more comfortable and practical headgear. Chester Greenwood is the man who invented that most remarkable of purpose specific headgear, the earmuffs.
Yay!
Thank you, Chester.
Mm-hmm.
If you had pressed me on who invented the earmuffs, I would have said Chester Greenwood. Even though I've never heard that name before in my life. That's who I would have imagined invented earmuffs. I don't know why. I don't know what he looks like. Nothing about him. But I would have imagined his name was Chester.
Well, there you go.
Don't know why.
Well, and that design that Chester started has been turned into, like we mentioned earlier, like heavy-duty sound dampeners that construction site workers wear, that everybody should wear when they're, like, mowing the lawn or using a chainsaw. Anything to protect your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
It's not just about keeping your ears warm anymore. It's about protecting the function of the ear as well.
They say Mr. Greenwood couldn't have possibly imagined all the purposes that seemingly simple and innocent piece of headgear would, you know, be turned to. Now that was the earmuff is called the thermal earmuff and is joined by the acoustic earmuff. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Melissa was talking about there, it's pretty interesting. It is Ken Day.
All right. We had Barbie Day the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a Barbie girl, Barbie fan, you may be a fan of Ken. Ken Day celebrates the occasion in 1961 when Barbie's long-term on-off boyfriend, Ken Carson. That's Carson. His name, yep. Ken Carson.
Carson? Really?
Well, you know, he did have his own car, right?
No wonder they didn't work out. Hey, if I'm Barbie, I'm not marrying Ken Carson. I'm not
Barbie Carson?
Yes, exactly, Mel. Yeah. No. Yes, so this is a day for Ken. Let's see here. It is National Coconut Tort Day.
Ooh. Oh, that looks yummy.
Sounds good.
That does look pretty good, actually. Yeah, and I'm not even a coconut guy. That looks pretty good, though. Mm. It is Fill Our Staplers Day. Boy.
Yeah.
That one did.
Nothing worse than go to a stapler and nothing happening.
True. I will say that is very true, but I couldn't tell you the last time I used a stapler.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know that we use them all the time still and everything, but that's kind of interesting to me when now that I'm thinking about it, that how we have not replaced the stapler yet.
I think more and more people go to a paperclip than a stapler.
Yeah.
But yeah, staplers are still very much needed.
In some industries, I would say, they have started using, like, where they crimp the paper together.
Ooh.
In the corner instead of using anything. And it's just like kind of mashes the paper onto itself.
Right.
So it's not a permanently, you know, a permanent binding, but it does keep it together long enough for what you need it for. If they're like minutes for a meeting or something of that nature. Yeah.
That is interesting to think of. I hadn't even thought of it. I've seen that. I just hadn't thought much about it or anything. But you're right. I think we're using them less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
it might be a good day to like locate your extra staples. So even if your stapler doesn't need to be refilled, you know where your replacement staples are.
Mm-hmm. National Jewel Day.
Ooh.
This is, you know, she is a great singer-songwriter.
Yes, she is. Phenomenal.
Nope. Nope. Sorry. Wrong Jewel. I apologize. Would like to apologize to the singer-songwriter Jewel. It's more about the other type of Jewel. It's a well-known truth that jewels and diamonds are a girl's best friend. One truly can't go wrong gifting jewels for a special occasion, such as a birthday or anniversary. Ornaments are also an excellent way to dress up an outfit and help boost one's self-confidence. I would not want to try to speak for women or anything like that, obviously, but I believe that a woman's best friend is equal pay, being equal rights. Like, I would think that comes before a jewel. Jewels are sparkly and attractive and fun to wear all year long. Anyone would be lucky to receive a brand new jewel to show off to their friends and family.
Okay. Yeah.
And I would just put out there that, at least for some girls, myself, I'm a big proponent of this. I don't need actual like fancy jewels. In fact, I kind of am a little bit against them because they're expensive, and if I lost it, I would be devastated. So I prefer, you know, like the fake ones are just as pretty.
Yeah, custom jewelry.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with it.
Mm-mm.
Just look at where your jewels come from. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. Look where those diamonds come from. Moving on to a Commonwealth Day. Every year on the second Monday of March, 56 countries from around the world hold celebrations to commemorate Commonwealth Day. While this day was originally referred to as Empire Day and had been celebrated on Queen Victoria's birthday on May 24th since 1904. Commonwealth Day wasn't established as such until 1977, when one of its member states proposed the date for all member states of the organization to simultaneously celebrate this occasion. Led at the time by the British ruler. Okay. Commonwealth Day.
Yeah.
There you go. And finally, National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day.
Woohoo. Okay, here's the irony. We just talked about superstitions.
Yes.
So does that mean we're going to have bad luck the whole rest of the day?
Everybody knows that opening an umbrella indoors is supposed to be bad luck, but is there any truth behind this age-old superstition? Fortunately for those spending sleepless nights pondering this question, there's actually a wacky holiday dedicated to finding out the truth. Whether it's called by a nickname such as a brolly, canopy, or parasol, an umbrella offers protection from the elements of nature. Most traditionally, it protects people from getting in the rain. Yeah, we know what an umbrella is. So this is a day, I mean, they're also kind of celebrating the umbrella on this day. That just kind of pushing against this idea that if it's unluck or lucky. It is thought that the ancient Egyptians, Romans, Chinese, and Greeks, and other cultures made use of some variation of the umbrella. It is umbrella and might be the opening of an umbrella inside might bring bad luck, might be traced to the ancient Egyptians who believed that this action would offend their sun god. On the other hand, it's quite possible that some mother somewhere came up with the idea simply to keep children from poking her sister's eyes out.
Yeah, there you go.
I think that's kind of interesting, though. I think it's just as interesting that we don't know where a lot of these superstitions come from. So there's no fact or anything necessarily to take from on these. It's interesting.
Yeah. One particular thing you can tie it to. But
But
umbrellas are very useful, especially I actually prefer them for keeping the sun off and keeping the rain off.
We will take a break right here. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and get into daylight savings time, talk a little bit about that when we come back on the morning show at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good start to your Monday out there.
Once in your life, you find her. Someone who turns your heart around. And next thing you know,
as I get older, I didn't really give Christopher Cross a whole lot of credit. He had a very unique voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now when I hear it, I'm like, oh, that's Christopher Cross. I know that right away. Like, he's one of those guys, one of those early, or not early, but one of those 80s overnight sensations. Like, literally overnight, his career changed and just kind of, like, went off like a rocket. And then kind of, like, faded just as quick as a rocket. It's weird. Interesting, though, because you don't see it. So it's not like he lost his talent or anything like that. It's just kind of weird how that fate that goes comes and goes. It reminds you to hang on to your career as best you can. I got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We're going to dive right into daylight savings time, everyone's favorite holiday.
All right.
Did you hear that? Did you feel those groans? Did you feel those? Yes. Everyone's a little groggy today, thanks to the time shift, but one in five Americans still like the fact that we do this twice a year. 21% of people in a new poll said that they think changing the clocks the way we're doing it is still the best option. 62% want to stop shifting the clocks, and the other 17% are undecided. Here are a few more stats from the survey. Number one, of people who want to stop doing it, 50% think we should switch to permanent daylight saving time. 31% want permanent standard time. Everyone else said they don't have an opinion, just pick one. Do you know if we're in daylight savings time or standard time right now? A lot of Americans don't, apparently. The poll was done last week, and 56% thought we were in daylight savings time at that point, but now we are.
Okay.
Yeah, because now we start daylight savings time.
Yep.
Right. 19% of Americans prefer waking up when it's dark out, something that happens more because of daylight savings time. And 7% of Americans are waking up in the dark most of the year, no matter what. That's how many said they wake up before 5 a.m. on weekdays. 68% wake up before 8 a.m. Only 13% roll out of bed before 9. I used to care, you know, I wouldn't say strongly about this subject, but I definitely I cared about it for our farmers. I cared about it for our ag industry and a lot of those things. I have ceased to care. I'm done caring. Make a decision. I'm so dang tired of the argument and the conversation.
Yeah.
It's just enough. Let's just figure this out. Let's get it decided. And once we do get it decided, let's all agree to move on. Whatever the decision is, let's all agree to move on and stop whining, complaining about daylight savings time, for God's sake. It is 1 hour difference this way or that way. It is... If it messes with your day that much, take a look in the mirror and figure this out. Because if you are over the age of 10, you've been dealing with this for decades.
Yeah.
For decades. And the idea, like, I'm all for venting. Venting's fine. You want to vent, I feel a little droggy today. Because that's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's our God-given right as human beings. But the idea of getting on a soapbox and doing what I'm doing right now about the subject is crazy. Well, it's crazy. Yeah.
Arizona and Hawaii don't observe it. Like, the entire states. Mm-hmm. They just don't observe it.
Mm-hmm.
We could all do the same thing.
Indiana used to be that same way, and parts of it still are. But, yeah, it's and we don't even need it for the egg industry anymore because they've come so far with all of the equipment that they have.
Right.
So that's a moot point. Mm-hmm. You know?
And then I was actually reading an article this morning that was talking about it happening during World War II to save energy.
Yeah, that's what I've read, too.
That those studies have shown that it didn't really save an amount that was worth it.
Right.
No.
And they've done medical studies saying that it's actually harmful to have to continue to do this.
For people's bodies, because it takes so long to switch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's 1 hour, but, man, it affects you for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Anybody who has ever flown, you know, different time zones gets that, understands
that.
And literally everybody gets it because everybody experiences this and everybody goes through it and everybody deals with it.
Welcome to societal jet lag day.
Yay. Jet lag, more like a week or 2 weeks, I think, is actually how long it takes your body to regulate.
It's ridiculous.
I don't I don't want to say this lightly, but I do think that it really plays into a politician's hand to have something like this to go to twice a year when I could distract from other heavier, more important topics. And I feel like that happens more times than not, and it more often than not.
Right.
And it also seems like one of these things that just really should have been figured out by now. Like, there's certain things that we have let, we've kicked the can on, and this is one of those ones where we just keep kicking the can down the road and let somebody else decide this, or let somebody else figure it out, or just get it done. Get it done so we can move on as a society and just stop whining about this.
Don't lump it in with something else. Just a very simple bill.
Yep.
Yes.
Ending, you know, like one way or the other. Because I really don't care either, whether it's daylight saving time or standard time. I don't care.
I want a bill that abolishes adding bills on top of other bills.
Yes.
This is politics 101. Yeah. I want to get a bill across, but I got this one thing that I've never been able to get across. I'll just slide it in there. I'll just slide it into this bill that has nothing to do with these other bills. They have told us that this can be a time saver. Hey, everybody, how much have you seen your politicians get done lately?
Mm.
Like, in your lifetime?
And it's because they're slipping in bills to try to hide the bills in there.
It's a part of it. It's also a part of, like, on our job, if we don't get things done, we're done. We're out. A politician can keep his job, can get reelected. And now, what is so-and-so done? I'm not sure.
Well, but all these bills.
Yeah, yeah. They introduced all these bills. Yeah.
They might not have done anything, but at least they're not that other person.
We hold an accountability for, like, feelings and likes and these kind of things. Like, we need to hold an accountability for the actual job. For are they getting their job done? Are they doing the work?
Term limits is what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe then we'll get some, you know, an answer on this daylight savings thing.
write your legislatures and your legislators and your representatives and vote on April 4th.
Yes.
We'll have more about that and ways that you can learn more about local candidates for you as well coming up throughout the show today. Did want to mention one other thing that I do actually I don't want to say I like about this, but I do think is kind of unique about this day and this time of year. Whether you like it, you don't like it, what have you, everybody feeling groggy, everybody's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
We all have this in common. And we're all connected through it. Yep. And like that part, and that's recognized by some people. I like that part. I appreciate these moments in life when we have more in common than not. Because we do. Take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun on The Morning Show with WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. At the top, we'll get CBS News, and then after that, we're going to be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Probably Paul Trombley will join us. We'll get an update about Mother Nature and what she's got in store for us. After that, we are going to get into 10 things that aren't designed for women but should be. For now, we've got 10 other things, 10 everyday things that used to be normal but are now known as to be dangerous.
Okay.
Some people may claim the world is more dangerous than it was in the, quote, good old days. But it's particularly an ignorance is bliss situation because we know about more dangers than we did then. There's a list online of old common household items that are now considered super dangerous.
Not just dangerous, super dangerous.
I guess super dangerous. Yes. I put a cape on that danger.
There you go.
Lead-based paint and leaded gas.
Yes.
Yeah. Chemically made colors with our pigments, arsenic pigments. Yeah.
Arsenic?
Yes. arsenic. Arsenic it is. Arsenic.
Well,
arsenic would not make very a lot of... That'd be very bad. buildings and household appliances that contained asbestos.
Yep.
Yes.
That's why we've got so much cancer in our world now. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons, anyway.
Yeah. Batteries and fertilizer containing cadmium. Cadmium.
Okay.
I think I'm saying that right. Yeah. Talcum powder and cosmetic powders that have been linked to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Teflon in nonstick cookware, which was cancer causing chemical, which was has cancer causing chemicals.
Are we seeing a theme here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those what the, that's what PFAS are in the Teflon.
The primary concern is a chemical called, I'm not saying that word, which was used to make Teflon until 2013.
Yeah.
Perfluorodecanoic acid. Perfluorodecanoic acid. I think that's how that says.
Okay.
That's not how you say that word. science teachers using liquid mercury in school experiments.
Oh, I remember that.
I remember that, too. I used to think it was really cool.
Yeah.
I got older, and I realized what that was going on there.
Well, and I recently came across something that was talking about using the mercury in the in our thermostats in our houses. You know, the old dial thermostats that we all used to use, and there's a place where you can go to recycle them so you can do so safely instead of releasing that mercury back into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And cars only started requiring seatbelts in 1966.
Yep.
And in some states, it took decades for seatbelts to become the law. Also, car seats for babies didn't become a mainstream thing until the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there seatbelts in buses yet?
No. Well, some. Yeah, what I've seen a lot, and it's, there are some school buses that do have seatbelts, but often what happens is they push them down into the seat instead of making you use them.
Yeah, I have never been on a school bus that had seatbelts, and I've never understood that.
I've
never understood, like, the most precious cargo we have in this universe, and we're putting them in a tin can and just, you know, bopping around with that. I don't know. Around 50 years ago, hitchhiking was a common way of getting around. Not so much anymore. And there's cigarettes. And while people have known for a while that cigarettes can't be good for you, it's only been about 20 years since people were stopped from smoking indoors at restaurants, bars, and venues. You can usually tell how old a movie is when they are smoking.
Mm-hmm.
If you see
doctor's office,
Well, if you see them smoking, that's just a sign right there that this is a movie that was made a while ago,
right?
And then on top of that, where they are smoking, I forget what the movie was. I was watching, I think it was a Cary Grant movie about a month or two ago, and I was going to look up what year it came out, and then they're on a plane and there's people smoking on the plane.
Oh,
it's like,
gosh.
All right, well, it's old. I know that much. It's old. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not even going to bother looking that up. All these are good things that we're not doing these things anymore.
But it makes you wonder how long they knew before we realized, you know, all of the laws were passed to prevent this from happening anymore. You know, we found
that's
that
the sad part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We found that out with the tobacco industry. They knew for years, decades that it was deadly. And yet it took, you know, a whistleblower and all of these decades to really start to move that around. And there are still people that knowingly will become addicted.
There's also, because there's learning from these things, but there's something like cigarettes. Yes, you're certainly right about that. They've always known the dangers of cigarettes. They understood this from a very early point and held that information a lot. There's other things like talcum powder, baby powder. We didn't know. Right. We didn't know that that was bad for our kids and stuff. And there's certain things that, especially when it comes to kids things, like modern parents judging older parents, like miss me with that.
Right.
Okay. If you had a baby back then, you'd have been doing the same type of things. This wonderful revisionist history that we can do sometimes, where we look back at things and we judge them. We can learn from them, but judging the past is going to send you down a path that you are not going to enjoy. Because I guarantee you've got some things in your past or your culture's past that you're not proud of. So every culture's got this. Every person has this in their past, in their life. I think we can do two things at once here. I think we can look at this stuff, learn from it, while also not being like, what fools they were back then. How dare they?
Right.
These people were putting leeches on themselves. Like, how ridiculous. What bonkers. What idiots. No, they were just of the times.
Right.
And they didn't know any better. That doesn't mean that they are excused of it or anything, but it's understanding the facts. It's understanding, hey, they just this is the way it was then. Whether that's right or wrong is not for us in the future to judge.
No.
It's not on us to judge, period. it's learning from this stuff. And that's the only way we're going to stop from these things, like the, another 20 years doing this article again, being like, gosh, you remember when we used to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, we learned from those things by this, not judging the past, but by learning from the past.
Well, and that's it's a wonderful example of how we can adapt. We've learned things, we adapt, so we do things differently so that we're not repeating the same mistakes that we've made in the past.
Well, and also then facing up to the fact that, oh, we've learned this new thing is bad for us. Mm-hmm. We need to do something about it. For instance, PFAS.
Yes.
This is going to be the next big argument because they've known that PFAS are not good to have in our bodies. They started studying this in 1999.
Yeah.
It's 2023, mm-hmm. and they are just now starting to put some legislation in place to control these substances. But there's people that fight back against it because, well, it's going to cost businesses a whole lot of money. Okay, that's maybe true, but how many human lives are going to be lost in the meantime? Because you don't want to put regulations on these.
And that's the thing. It's become more about the money than about the lives. And so, you know, the question becomes to the government, how much is a life worth? We talked about that with airlines last week.
Yeah.
You know, how
2 million.
Much? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's for an airplane. So how much is it? It's probably even less than that. I mean, more than that. You know, it's going to cost a lot more than that per life before a lot of these big businesses decide to, on their own, make the regulations. And then it takes... I mean, we've seen this. It takes forever for the government to react to things that are happening.
They're still fighting this in court right now with PFAS. The Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce is still in arguments and fighting this through the court system to not have to do some of the things that are being asked of them to do.
We also need to... I feel for any business, big or small, that has to make adjustments and has to worry about a bottom line and all those things. I don't make light of any of that stuff. I will also say that businesses will survive. If they don't survive, next man up. I mean, we got to quit acting like this is the last business in the world. Like, like if a business doesn't survive something like this, oh, it's going to cost my company money, but we'll be saving lives. But I'm worried about the company bottom line. If you're worried, if you can't, like, fix that, then you don't deserve it in the business world.
Well,
move on and let somebody else do the job.
And the irony...
whatever if your business is or your company or if it's a person running it or what have you.
The irony is that if we keep doing this and we're killing the people that are buying our product, then we're not going to have anybody buying our product and it's going to kill the business anyway.
Yeah. and I do think, not coincidentally, I think that this is a conversation that kind of ties into this next one. If it seems like people are dumber than they used to be, maybe it's because we really are a little bit sillier. A new study found Americans' collective IQ may have dropped for the first time in almost a century. IQs tend to go up from generation to generation, something called the Flynn effect. In the last 90 years, they've increased an average of about 3 points per decade. But a study at Northwestern and the University of Oregon found that the trend may have stalled out about 2006 or even reversed. The biggest change saw was in kids, but they found a slight slip in IQ across all age groups, even adults. That includes being worse at problem solving, math skills, and verbal reasoning. They didn't look at what caused it, but suggested it may have to do with our education system.
Oh.
That said, it's not just happening here. Separate studies have found IQs might have dropped globally. Other theories for what's behind it include more pollution, changes in our diet, or our new obsession with phones and social media. More than likely, there is not one answer. It is all of these things combined that is causing this. So, yeah. What are you going to do with that one, America? World? What are we going to do with this? It's all well and good during election season to say that you care about certain things. Well, how much do you really care? Because if you care about our education system, if you care about this, if you care about USA, you would think our children to be some of the smartest in the world. So we need to up our game on these things. The pollution end of stuff, watching our diet and what we eat. These are all things that, you know, we need to be doing. And we apparently have been slacking on.
Well, and my concern is the amount of time, and every time I take my boys in for their wellness check, the doctor recommends, okay, here's the time limit of how much screen time they should have, and that includes what they get in the schools. because they're not getting the time to utilize their creativity, their imaginations, and engage with that. And that's where the problem solving. You know, if you never have a chance to try to solve a problem, you're never going to grow those skills.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's with Melissa on the phone. It's hard to tell if she's got something to say or not. So I don't know. I'll just keep moving.
There are things that I want to say, but I feel like I shouldn't. Like I'm holding back right now because it's frustrating when you see what's happening with the budget, when we're watching what's happening with the arguments going back and forth of, well, we need to fund schools. No, we need school choice. Okay, but school choice is taking money from public schools and putting it into private education.
Right.
And it's not... it's not making our schools better. It's not making our kids smarter. I mean, some are arguing that. Some are arguing for the other. You see it on both sides.
Well, what it's doing is it's moving the education strictly to the privileged.
Correct.
And if we want a society that is intelligent, it needs to be equitable for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a break right here. We'll come back after CBS News is done doing their thing. We'll have a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. And then after that, we're going to have 10 things that aren't designed for women but should be. When we're done with that, we will have Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club and a lot more lined up for you here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.